All right, folks. Welcome to the Creation Science Hour and a Half. This is Kent Hopin and Jonathan Sampson. August the 1st. We made it, Jonathan. A new month. And you got all those previous months already done on DVD, ready to sell, right, for people to buy? All the old programs? You're working on it. Okay. Good. Top of the list. All right, folks, if you want to join the program, you can call in today, 850-479-3466, 850-479-3466. Go to extension 136. Or you can instant message us at Dr. Dino Live, DrDinoLive. If you want to get on the program, we'd love to have you join us today. We're the folks who believe the Bible is literally true and scientifically accurate. God made the world in 6 days, about 6,000 years ago, just like the Bible says. And God's going to come back one of these days and judge this world, just like he said he would. And you and I are both going to be judged by everything you've ever said or thought or done. It's going to be a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. You don't want to do that. And that's where Jesus Christ comes in. He's both willing and able to pay for your sins and forgive you. And it's a wonderful thing when you know you've got God's forgiveness for your sins. Rather than deny his existence, which would be stupid, and rather than to believe you came from a rock, which would be even more stupid, just admit it. Lord, you made this place. I'm sorry. I've disobeyed your rules. Forgive me. So simple, so wonderful. We highly recommend that. You can call in and talk to us about it if you've got any questions. We'll be glad to take your questions. 850-479-DINO, extension 136, or 877-479-DINO, extension 136. Either one will get you in. If they do answer the phone, just say, hey, I want to be on the radio, and they'll transfer you. Or if you want to avoid that long message that comes up when you call in, just type 136. You don't need to listen to the message. Or AOL, instant messages at Dr. Dino Live, DrDinoLive. Okay, Jonathan, did we get the link to the scientists that actually lie? We had that at one time. That was ORI, Office of Research Integrity, something or other. Yeah, I should go back to that one.
It's ORI.DHHS.gov.
ORI. I was just so hurt when I discovered that.
I know. It's a real heartbreaker. They really let us down. You know, I put my faith in those guys.
I mean, they got their lab coat and everything.
Mm-hmm. The pretty little beakers, the bubbling blue juice that no one really knows what it is, but it makes smoke, and that's kind of cool.
And it makes everybody think, wow, they're smart.
Really sets the atmosphere.
But can you believe they would actually lie? Did you see that, Eric? The scientists who lie? Okay, I'm on there, Jonathan. Now, what do I search for here?
I'll pull it up.
You'll pull it up.
To you.
Okay, send it to me.
Good. I think you two news articles there. One of them is containing the World Net Daily thing that you were just mentioning.
Science Daily?
World Net Daily.
Oh, World Net Daily. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll call them.
I just sent that to you. It's China.org, one right there on your screen.
Yep.
It's the sea creature.
China.org. Another sea creature washes up on the beach. Unidentified creature found after typhoon. Early on the morning of July 23rd, a fisherman at hard name, let's see, in Zhangjiang province, was shocked by the sight of a huge creature lying dead beside the seawall near his home. Liu, who lives near Yangshanghang of Chongqing town, you guys got to learn English. I've been a fisherman for over 10 years, said, I've never seen such a monster. It was larger than a whale. It was the first seen by villagers on July 20th, according to Mel, who breeds fish nearby, and is nearly 12 meters long and weighs around 2 tons, according to District Sea and Fishery Bureau staff. The animal reportedly has a long, thin head and a snout nearly 1 meter long. Let me guess. They're going to call it a basking shark. They're always the basking. Some of them are. I mean, basking sharks do die, you know, and they do rot away, and the gill slits fall off. I'm very familiar with that. But everyone is not a basking shark. Here we go. One called Lee said it must have lived in the sea because the skin of its chest is very much like that of many large sea animals and as thick and hard as rubber. According to another named Wang, it is very like an elephant seal, especially its mouth. And he said he once spotted elephant seals on a journey overseas 5 years ago. Many experts said that being seriously rotten and deprived of lower limbs and tail, the monster is unlikely to be identified or to be made into a specimen. An expert from Ningbo University Sea Creature Research Center who has not seen the animal, that it's possibly a huge crocodile. So they usually, the possibility of it being a huge crocodile was slim, but they usually live in tropical freshwater. He also doubted it could be an elephant seal, saying it would be hard to explain how one got to subtropical East China Sea from polar water. Huh. Well, I have to wait and see if anybody identifies it, Jonathan. Another critter washes up on the beach. If a dinosaur washes up on the beach and is positively identified as a plesiosaur or chronosaur or, you know, whatever, it wouldn't matter. I mean,
no big deal.
The evolutionists, like their fog that fits the landscape, would take it right in stride and say, well, see, one survived for 70 million years.
As long as it lives some time for somebody, everyone's happy.
The thought of it, possibly their evolution theory not being true, would never cross their mind. They would never think of it. Like the coelacanth. We got that book in here.
The Fish Caught in Time?
The Fish Caught in Time.
Your own grandpa is 70 million times removed.
Something, yeah, 40 million times removed. Your own uncle. Great, 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 great uncle. They just don't get it. But that's why we're here. We're here to help. Okay.
We're
do you believe
an hour
in evolution?
And a half every day now.
What's that?
It used to be just an hour. We were here for an hour, but now we're here for
an hour and a half. Right. Creation Science, hour and a half. Just because we want to help so bad.
No more excuses for remaining ignorant.
Okay. So if you want to check out china.org/English/life, and big number for the article, unidentified sea creature found after typhoon. You can check that out. Okay. And let's see, we got somebody on the phone, John. Who's on the phone there?
See, is our caller there?
Hello? Hello?
Kent.
Oh, there we go.
Yes.
Okay. Let me move over near the speaker here.
I got home early today, and I said, I'm going to call Kent right away. And there you were.
You're calling in?
You said something.
You're calling in to announce that you're changing your mind and going to become a young Earth creationist.
I'm open to that, I guess. But
well, good.
You know, you never know one of these days. But I'll tell you this: you use the word stupid pretty loosely.
Is there a better one?
I actually heard you define it one time. Lacking normal intelligence, right?
Right. That's what the dictionary says. I just read the dictionary definition. Stupid. Lacking normal intelligence.
Now, you think people deny the existence of God are lacking normal intelligence?
Absolutely. I mean, all you got to do is look around and see there must be a designer.
Well, where do you come to a conclusion like that? I think that lacks normal intelligence, if anything.
Well, that's why we're here, to help you change your mind on that regard.
Now, Ken, you don't really, and what evidence do you have that God even exists, first of all? Because that must be established before you just say everything's done.
Well, I've talked to him quite a few times today already. He's doing fine. He's not even sick, let alone dead.
The Lord?
If a computer washed up on the beach and on an island and a couple of natives are out there arguing, you know, was this a man-made object, or, you know, how did this get here? And they start off by limiting themselves to natural resources on the beach. Say, how did the waves do this with the sand? They're never going to discover the truth about the computer because they've limited their search to things on their island, and they're not willing to admit there might be something smarter than them. You apparently are not willing to admit there's something greater than you or greater than mankind, i.e. a god. And so you're limiting your search at the very onset. You're never going to find the truth that way.
Well, first of all, that's only an analogy. I'm glad you went for the explanation of it. But the fact of the matter is you kind of just stated that in order to really have evidence for a God, you have to believe in him first.
I don't know about that.
Pretty much the only way it ever goes.
No, I didn't say that. I do believe that there is plenty of evidence there must have been a designer, like the computer on the beach. It'd be just intuitively obvious there must have been somebody that made this machine.
Not really. I mean, you can't just, you know, how would people even create life? Can't even, you know, it's you see something complex, but, you know, well, what is this about a designer? I mean, you never see that happening in nature. You can't do it scientifically. It's kind of ridiculous to just do such.
Well, suppose you're working in an iron mine, digging iron ore, and you find a quarter inch, 20 threads per inch, a quarter 20 bolt, 2 inches long. It's made out of iron. You're working in an iron mine, but here's this, a bolt. Would you assume that this happened by natural forces, or does this obviously show evidence of being tampered with by some sort of intelligence?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's kind of still an analogy. It's not really evidence that there is a God.
Okay. When we find arrowheads, is that evidence of a civilization?
Somewhat, yeah.
Somewhat?
Well, the arrowheads, it depends. You'd have to ask an archaeologist.
Is there any chance in a bazillion years that natural forces would chase a Clovis Point arrowhead?
Kind of. I mean,
no, the Clovis Point arrowheads are designed to have a little notch in them to tie them to the... To the
okay. Let's just take a discussion.
So there's no chance. It'll never happen. All of human logic and reasoning tells us things like an arrowhead have to have a designer. And something like a nut or a bolt or a screw or a computer really has to have a designer. The more complex it is, the less the possibility, which was already close to zero, but the less the possibility is of it happening by natural forces. And yet you choose to believe the obviously impossible. For whatever reason, I don't understand.
You don't really know what I believe. I mean,
well, you told me many times you don't believe there's a God, and that is...
I don't believe there is a God.
Okay, that is...
But I'm not going to sit here and say that evolution is a fact, but it serves better alternative, and this is why. Because what you're doing here is you're saying, well, obviously, because we don't have an explanation, that means God exists, right?
The only intuitive way complex things could happen is with some kind of intelligent designer. Now,
well, I think you're about to say obvious, and I think the obvious thing is that we see natural processes and natural explanations for everything. Why wouldn't that also go with origin?
Well, yeah, here's the problem. We do see natural processes that operate something like a machine, a computer, a car, or something like that. The operation of a car can be explained with all natural processes, but the origin of the car is a totally different subject. There had to be somebody outside that car to make it.
But cars aren't people. They're not living things. They can't reproduce. They can't. They're cars. Obviously, they're machines. They're machines. They're man-made objects.
Well, if we know they're man-made objects.
Yeah.
But if you're digging...
I don't know why you're bringing that up.
Okay, if you're digging through the rocks and you find an arrowhead, you also know that's a man-made object.
Okay.
Yeah. If you're just looking under a microscope and you see a cell, a living cell, with all the mitochondria and the DNA and all the little parts of a cell, you would just automatically assume, wow, there must have been a designer for this.
No, why would you come to that conclusion? Just because it's complex?
Well...
And you don't have an explanation for otherwise?
Okay.
That's not much of a reason.
Okay,
that is stupid.
Suppose you're on an island and you find an arrowhead and you don't see any people on the island. There's no evidence of anybody ever having been there. But here's this arrowhead laying on the beach. It would just be obvious to anybody with half a brain that there must have been somebody landed on that island and lost an arrowhead or shot it or something.
Uh-huh.
These things don't happen by themselves. So yeah, it would be stupid to say, well, I don't believe anybody made this arrowhead and I'm going to spend the rest of my life looking for a naturalistic explanation of how the waves could have done it.
If you're like me, you believe the FBI has never apologized, never had any thoughts of regret about Ruby Ridge. Well, here's FBI negotiator Fred Lansley. Hear what he says.
We fouled up in front of the entire world, and it should never have happened. And I think it was just a really disappointing day for the FBI.
The FBI later admits to covering up facts during the court case, and the rules of engagement are deemed unconstitutional.
Well, the FBI may not have officially apologized for what went on at Ruby Ridge, but it was impressive to hear Fred Lansley speak out against his bosses. That's almost never done. This DVD, new to me, is really great. Lots of good background information about the Weaver case and Randy himself showing up and telling his story. You can have a copy if you write to me, P.O. Box 344, Nipomo, California, 93444.
Let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror, which paralyzes needed effort to convert retreat into advance. This nation is asking for action, and action now.
Not many people who know what Franklin Delano Roosevelt was really about respected his administration, but you have to give him credit for really laying it on the line back then in the 30s in a way that applies today. Nothing to fear but fear itself. What's this about terror? If you want this kind of information to get deeper into American society, support Truth Radio. Our address is P.O. Box 344, Nipomo, California, zip code 93444. P.O. Box 344, Nipomo, California, zip code 93444.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Gracious Science Hour and a Half. Kent Hovind and Jonathan Sampson live. I just flew in this morning, Jonathan, from a great meeting up in Appleton, Wisconsin, Calvary Chapel, Appleton. They had the air show up there, all the experimental aircraft. They come in all over the world. It's incredible. They did this year, I don't think, but last year they had the Concorde came in, you know, stuff like that, a B-2 stealth bomber. This year they had the Glacier Girl, the one they dug out of the ice, you know, in Grima that I talk about in Seminar Part 1. Flew up there for this air show in Wisconsin. Evolutionists will often say each of the layers of ice they see at the South Pole or the Greenland or the North Pole is a different year. And yet the Glacier Girl landed there in 1942, World War II, dug out in 1990, and had hundreds of layers of ice on top of it. Hundreds of layers. The layers are not annual. They just don't get it. All right. Anyway, you're welcome to call in 850-479-DINO or 850-479-3466, extension 136, or instant message us at AOL, instant message Dr. Dino Live. We still have our caller on there.
Yes.
Yes, go ahead. Okay, I forgot now. I was getting busy during the break. I think it's intuitively, it's just obviously logical to say.
Well, it's obvious maybe to you because you need...
Okay.
Somehow, and you're already... I'm kind of breaking up here, Ken.
Well, not that I need God. I mean, I would much rather there not be a God. I would much rather have a religion like you have that allows me to do what I want.
Well, we still have to obey the law, Ken.
Why? You don't have to obey the law. Why would you have to obey... If evolution is true, if you could do something illegal...
That's the way society
works.
Laws are set up to govern people.
Why?
I can't just do anything at once. But, you know, we're straying away from the argument here.
Okay, what is
that? I wanted to say, I was talking with someone one time. They told me they had experience with the devil. And, you know, at the end, their spouse mentioned, I highly doubted that the devil existed. In fact, I don't believe the devil existed. And, what is your evidence looking for this? Going on. And you said, well, you know, what does Satan have to do with you? You don't believe in him, so why would he attack you if you doubt or anything? He's already won you over. Now, you can obviously see the logic in this. She only, there's such passion, interest, such supernatural things probably caused this to happen. And she mentioned, of course, was there tonight.
We lost it. Still there? What happened there, Jonathan?
I heard something.
Yeah, he's turning some knobs here. Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you fine now. Go ahead.
I'm getting a little feedback now. But basically what happened was is the logic there is that you only you have to believe the same stuff to personally have experience with someone for him to be real. And that doesn't make any sense. That's not logic. And that's basically what you're doing with God here. Yet you basically have to believe in him for him to be real.
No, no, I don't. I didn't say that. I think he's real whether you believe in him or not. Okay. And you could spend the rest of your life trying to find a naturalistic explanation for this complex universe. Good luck.
Well, not always. I'm kind of content with not just believing in God. Even if they do find a naturalistic explanation of how we got here.
Okay, let me ask you this. With or without the Christian aspect involved here, is society better off to follow the rules laid down in the Bible?
You know what? I think the Bible has the corner or covered on most of the moral issues.
Okay.
But, you know, when people start believing in God, it starts doing things in the mind, and it starts doing things the way we govern that I don't really agree with. Like, trying to take evolution out of the textbook for one, or...
No, I'm not trying to do that.
Yeah. Come on, Ken.
No, I don't. I've said many times.
Well, I know you're trying to take the lies out, but,
right.
You know, even half those lies still have somewhat of an argument for them, even if you're not willing to believe it, and you really want evolution altogether out, or at least put creation in.
No, no, I want lies out of the textbook. Actually, I don't think we should have a public school system.
Exactly. It produces reasoning like that. It scares the crap out of me.
No, that's logical. What if the entire public school system was teaching Christianity like it did 100 years ago? Would you be wishing they would close it down?
Well, no. I would still be in favor of education. I just want the Christianity part out of it because, you know, in a free society like we have in America, it's not right to teach one religion nor the other.
Okay, then why don't we take evolution out of the textbook?
It's not a religion. It's purely unbiased part of science.
Evolution is not a religion, you don't think?
We've had this debate before, and I think I can't hold that up. It's never held up in court.
It's never been tested in court as far as evolution being. Humanism was branded a religion by the Supreme Court.
Well, explain humanism.
Humanism
is
the belief that man is the ultimate authority, that there is no creator. I guess humanism puts man in the place of God, and evolution, of course, and humanism go hand in glove. That'd be
well,
good one.
No, evolution is just a natural explanation. You know, our origin is through natural processes. Like, I believe, you know, like the textbook tells you, with biological evolution. I mean, you throw in all the other, like, six definitions. You throw in all the four for some reason. I don't know why.
Well, you have to divide this. This word does have, the theory of evolution would include those six stages. You'd have to admit that.
They involve absolutely different parts of science, though. I mean, for you to believe, perhaps, that, you know, a God doesn't exist, you might have to incorporate such. But, you know, like, let's say, you know, the Big Bang has nothing to do with evolution.
Well, no, it does. See, what is evolving? I mean, you want to start with something already living. Well, what is this thing living on? It's living on a planet, which is, you know, going around a star. So you have to have an explanation for how the star and the planet got there.
Well, see, you don't.
Well, you do, or you don't have a complete theory.
Things do come up, and people have their theories or hypotheses, but you know, you don't have to. I don't have to have an explanation whether or not for, you know, life being here, for me not to believe in God. I just don't. I mean, it's as simple as that.
Well, if you look at the six meanings of evolution, and for the other listeners out there who may not know, that's, to me, one of the key things in the argument is defining what you mean by evolution. I start off and say, first, you have to have cosmic evolution. That's the origin of time, space, matter itself. Then you have to have chemical evolution. because according to the Big Bang Theory, the Big Bang brought time, space, matter into existence, but it only created hydrogen and helium. So now you have to create uranium and everything else from hydrogen, which is impossible. Fourthly, you have to have, you have to have stellar evolution, number three, how stars evolve. We've never seen a star evolve, never seen a star form, not even a good theory how it can happen. Fourthly is organic evolution. Life has to get started somehow from non-living minerals, and there is no, not even a good theory, let alone evidence. There's no evidence for that. Then we have what I call macroevolution, changing from one kind of animal to another. And lastly, microevolution, which nobody argues about, variations within the same kind. And that's why I think it's just critical to define the word evolution, because there are millions of examples of what most people would consider microevolution. But that's all there are is examples of that. There are no examples.
You see, you take time, or the aspect of time out of it, which is required, whether you want to call it a god or not, it's part of what happens in nature. Things happen all the time, like mountains moving. But
You lost me on that one. What happens all the time?
Like moving of continents, land masses.
Well, I agree. The continents are moving. We have fault lines and earthquakes, but I think there's a different explanation for why than you have.
Okay. Well, I have no knowledge of that, but I'll say yes. But you know, what I called in is the reason why God doesn't exist. And the best piece is, why would God plant evidence that would make us doubt him?
No, I would look at it differently. Why are you looking at the evidence and choosing to doubt rather than looking at the evidence the other way? It's true there are fossils in the dirt.
I can look at evidence either way, can't I? You know, you can't just say, you look at DNA and say, that's designed for us. You know, it really doesn't go that way. You have to establish the mind of existence first.
Well, if you feel that way about her, why don't you ask her out?
I don't know. I doubt she'd say yes.
How are you going to find out if you don't ask?
Some things we doubt are worth finding out.
Yeah, I heard about the opening and I'd like to interview, but I just don't think I'd get the job.
Bob, you're the best person for that job. You should go for it.
Oh, I doubt they'd even consider me.
But you won't know that unless you interview.
Doubt should motivate us to pursue an answer.
Oh, I doubt it's cancer. I'm sure it's nothing. Barb, it's a lump. You need to find out for sure. I doubt they'll find anything.
Are you someone who doubts that God exists?
Frank, do you believe there's a God?
Well, I don't know. Personally, I doubt it.
The question of whether God exists is an important one. Don't base your beliefs on your doubts. Turn your doubts into questions and start asking them. The Bible has a lot to say about God. Be passionate about finding the answer. A message from Lifeline Productions. 1-800-523-8669. LifelinePro.com.
www.truthradio.com. David Gibbs and his son gained some degree of prominence recently in the Terry Schiavo case, and they're good lawyers, and these people are very well intentioned, and they do a lot of good work. They send out a news release, a news letter. I got that letter. In it, David C. Gibbs Jr. had this to say, and I want to comment on what he said. Our founders would wince at the idea that the Constitution they wrote is somehow living and thus open to interpretation based on the shifting sands of societal change. Wrong, Attorney Gibbs. Wrong. They would not wince. They knew when they wrote those words that unless they protected those words would change. And that's the problem with our nation today. We need to set those words in concrete and do away with the practice of looking to precedents as some being authoritative.
Welcome back to the Creation Science Hour and a Half. Kent Hovind and Jonathan Sampson here in Pensacola, Florida, August 1st, 2005. And we're the folks who believe the Bible is literally true, scientifically accurate, and the evolution theory is the dumbest, most dangerous religion in the history of planet Earth. Jonathan, I redid my seminar part 5 this week up in Wisconsin on why evolution is dangerous. 3 hours. That tape is coming out here soon, folks, replacing the old one, added quite a bit of stuff. Okay, do we still have a caller on the line there?
Yep, and I'm going to make my final comments.
Okay, go ahead.
Now, I called in to defend the, and I shouldn't be defending because it goes against what I believe, but, you know, it makes complete logic sense to not believe the Creator. When you live in a world where everything is defined with natural explanation, for you to just say, you know, this one exception here, you know, this is stupid for anyone else to believe otherwise. It seems ridiculous. And I don't even know how you wake up believing this.
Okay, well, if you think it's logical to believe there is no designer for this complex universe, you're welcome to believe that. I mean, this is America. You can believe what you want. I think you'll find 90-some percent of the population disagrees with you.
All right.
You'd have to admit I'm right on that one.
Okay, but, you know, I'll say 90% of scientists, you know, believe otherwise.
I don't know. It's more like 50%, 50-50 on the scientists.
I think you're probably wrong.
But
definitely. I mean, you probably consider yourself a scientist, and, you know, then we'll have to look at other definitions. But next time I call in, we're going to debate how evolution definitely not dangerous. I run.
How evolution is not dangerous. Oh, I'd be glad to debate on that one. That'd be good.
Oh, that would love it.
All right. Well, thanks for listening.
Yep. Take care, guys.
Okay. Thanks. Bye-bye. All right, folks. You're welcome to call in. We only have one line into the studio. Sorry about that. 850-479-DINO. 850-479-3466. Extension 136. Could that be the other phone ringing, Jonathan, or somebody's trying to get on the radio station? No, it should ring here. We're not the most highly evolved technicians here, but we're working at it real hard. But you can be on the program by instant messaging us, AOL instant message, Dr. Dino Live, DrDinoLive. All right, let's see. ScienceDaily.com. Brown grad student seismic study shakes up plate tectonics. Can you believe somebody would dare to shake up a theory that's so that held, like, you know, such religious fervor, place tectonic? I believe the plates are moving. I've never questioned that. I just question how long it's been happening and what effects it has caused. I think the Bible's got a much better explanation. We cover that on video number 6, the Hovind theory of the moving of the continents and the earthquakes and tsunamis and all that stuff. So let's, if you want to check out that website, sciencedaily.com. News release for 2 days ago, the 30th of July. Brown grad student. I bet they're going to get in trouble for calling the kid Brown. Some people were black or white. Here's this kid. They're calling him Brown. Maybe he goes to Brown University. Yeah, Rhode Island. Okay, that's where Kenneth Miller teaches. I'd love to debate Kenneth Miller any time. Poor guy, still teaching. Stuff in his textbook has been proven wrong years ago. Trying to support the evolution theory. All right, who's on the line there, John? Grant, yes, sir, go ahead.
Hey, Dr. Hovind, how are you doing?
Doing great. Well, I flew all morning and had a short night last night, but I'm going to survive.
Yeah. I have to admit, it's painful listening to that Eric guy.
It's painful?
Yeah. His testimony, when he gets up in heaven after he's been converted, Hovind had to pay me $20 to come up here.
It's worth more than that. I mean, I wish he would watch his stuff and you know, get converted. We really want to help him. I mean, we really do. I was where he's at. I was tried everything to defend atheism years ago as a, you know, 14, 15-year-old. And It's indefensible. It's a dumb idea to believe there isn't a creator. It's like driving down the car, driving down the highway in your car, looking around saying, you know, I can explain everything about this car. That proves nobody made it. Huh. You might explain how it operates, but that doesn't explain how it originated.
It's the valuable idea. If it has children, it can evolve. If it doesn't have children, it can evolve. That's their thinking on it, but the process of reproduction itself is a very complex process that could have no way, shape, or form originated by blind fans.
I agree.
Anyway, I came up with this illustration. Evolutionists believe that order can come out of chaos. So here's one experiment I'd like you to try. Take one pool table, a full rack of balls. Rack and get them all set up, and then break.
Okay.
Now, using only the white ball as, and the stick as per standard rules of pool, try to get them back into the original formation. Or better yet, pick up the table by two legs, get the strong guy if you like, shift it around so the balls fall in their original place. They cannot fall into any of the holes, otherwise the experiment will be a failure. Or, even better yet, set the balls on the table, and then with an axe, chop up the table and watch it organize itself into an orderly collection of pieces, then watch the balls organize themselves back onto the table and rearrange themselves into their original form.
Wow, that's a good one. Or take a deck of cards. You've got 52 cards. Toss them off the roof and make them land in a stack, sorted by two, in order. Good luck, right?
This is one of my favorite books. I don't know who said this. My dad said about this. Talk about some scientists that were arranging nucleotides or whatever says, we arrange them randomly. How can you arrange something randomly?
It's a good one. One atheist that says, thank God I thank God I'm an atheist. Wow, really thoughtful. Yeah. Well, it is. It's a dumb religion, but people are allowed to have their religion. I don't mind that. So. And I'm glad in America we have the right to have any religion we want, including atheism. I'm glad for that. But atheism is a religion. People don't even see that. You have to believe that there is no God. It is not possible to know such a thing.
It's not possible to prove it one way or the other, but the main difference between Christianity and evolutionist religions is no one has ever proven the Bible wrong. However, no one has ever proven the evolution theory right.
Correct.
There's been evidence quite to the contrary.
Yeah, they're both religious, and I've been asking the question for 15 years, why do all of us have to pay for their religion to be taught? Why don't they pay for my religion to be taught for a while? That would sure get them upset. Good. Well, someday we'll have two lines. You can call in and discuss with Eric yourself, and maybe you can help him. We're trying to help him. We really are.
Yeah, I pray for him every night.
Well, good.
Want to see him in heaven.
Well, those kind of guys really make good. I mean, he's a thinker. He really is thinking. I mean, for that, I'm grateful. And those kind of guys make great Christians when you get converted. C.S. Lewis was that way, you know. Many great creatures of the past were our former atheists that became Christians, just became convinced. You know, the evidence is overwhelming. So we don't give up on them until they quit breathing. When they quit breathing and they grow cold, then it's time to give up. But till then, there's hope.
All right, well, thank you very much.
All right.
Enjoy listening to your show. Tune in every day if I can.
Well, thanks for calling, and tell everybody else to listen in, too.
I try.
All right.
Anyway,
that's right, Grant. All right, folks, you can be on the program, 850-479-3466, 850, Pensacola, Florida, 479-3466, which spells Dino, D-I-N-O. We like that number, Dino. Even Dinosaur Adventureland is 850-478-DINO. Like the Dino. You need to get a Dino on your phone somehow, don't you? You're fine with that? It's already taken. Yeah. I've got that Dino on my cell phone, too. 3466. We like that. Okay, you can call in 850-479-DINO, extension 136, or you can instant message us.
AOL Instant Messenger on AOL Instant Messenger, obviously, like I said.
All right.
It's been redundant again.
Redundant again.
Yeah.
Wow.
Dr. Dino Live is our screen name, DrDinoLive, and that'll come right through to me, and I will pass it over the internet. The invisible thing that really exists even though you can't see, taste, touch, or feel it, over to Dr. Hoban.
Good point. You know, radio waves really exist. Can't see them, taste them, or touch them. Do you believe in radio waves, Donna?
I have my faith. Yeah.
I have faith. Yeah. Okay. All right, you can call in. Here we go. Brown grad student seismic study takes up like your time. Providence, Rhode Island. First cool, rigid upper layer, known as the lithosphere, rides on top of its warmer, more pliable neighbor, the asthenosphere, as a series of massive plates. Plates continually shift and break, triggering earthquakes, sparking volcanic eruptions, sculpting mountains, and carving trenches under the sea. So what exactly divides the lithosphere and the asthenosphere? In the latest issue of Nature, a trio of geophysicists from Brown University and MIT published research that sheds new light on the nature of the boundary between these rocky regions. Lead author, Catherine Reichert, 26-year-old graduate student of Brown's Department of Geology, found a sharp dividing line between the lithosphere and the asthenosphere. According to the data culled from seismic sensors sprinkled across the northeastern United States and southeastern Canada, Reichert and colleagues discovered that sound waves recorded by the sensors flow considerably about 90 to 110 kilometers below ground, a sign that the rock is getting weaker and that the lithosphere is giving way to the asthenosphere within a distance of a mere 11 kilometers, roughly 7 miles. So it changes solid rock to melted rock. I guess I didn't know there was a controversy about that. We used to call it the MOHO, Morphogenetic Discontinuity. There's several projects, probably 15 times they tried to drill down to the MOHO to see what's there. I can tell them what they're going to find. They're going to find a really deep hole with hot rock at the bottom. All right. You can be on the program, 850-479-DINO, extension 136. 850-479-DINO, extension 136. Who's calling in there, Jonathan?
I thought we've got these kids, children. I mean, you have to be completely ridiculously immature to call in and just press your little key.
Well, see, they can't deal with the logic of the, what we say on the program, so they just have to become an annoyance of some kind. That's great.
Oh, well, I better make them really good. Put hair on their knuckles or whatever they call it.
Brave. You know, yeah. Anonymous phone calls, they're so brave.
You guys should have been there, man. I called in the kids' program and pressed button.
I showed him, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, exactly what did they show us. That's a good point.
That's what they go back to school, and that's all they can brag about now.
Right. Know,
they can't talk about doing the belly flop off the high dive or anything. They just got to talk about Frank following the creation program.
That's fine. 850-479-DINO, extension 136. And even if you're dumb, we'll still talk to you.
That's what we're here for.
That's what we're here
if
for.
If there were no dumb people out there,
we'd be out of work.
We'd be out of work, yeah.
Yeah. Well,
we'd have less work.
I don't know if the people are necessarily dumb, but the theory sure is dumb. Man. That first of all, that everything came from nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And then this stuff learned how to organize itself into molecules and, you know, atoms and molecules.
Reproduced itself.
And reproducible organisms. Man, oh, man. You'd have to have help to be that dumb. I don't think you can do that on your own. 850-479-DINO, extension 136. 850-479-DINO, extension 136. Okay. You can be on the program. Instant messages. AOL instant message to Dr. Dino Live. D-R-D-I-N-O. L-I-V-E. And let's see. Jake Babab writes in, hey, Dr. Oven, do you believe that miracles like people receiving the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues still occurring today? Well, Jake Babab, this would be an interesting discussion. I have read the Bible a whole bunch of times, and I don't see in there what some people claim they're seeing. Let me tell you what I see, okay? Jesus said in the end of the book of Matthew and the end of the book of Mark that when people, you know, in the last days, when people are filled with the Holy Spirit, they would raise the dead, they would take up deadly serpents and not be harmed. You know, here's a whole list of things. Among that was speaking with tongues. Now, what does that mean? Well, Jesus said it was going to happen. Okay. Then you look in the book of Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. The whole world gathered together as far as the Jews go. The people from every nation have come together for the big feast, which is what they're supposed to do. And it says every nation under heaven was gathered together, at least representatives of every nation, for this big feast in Jerusalem, Acts chapter 2. So Peter gets up and starts preaching in presumably Hebrew or Greek, whatever he spoke that day. And they heard him in their own language. And it lists them. It gives 17 different languages. It gives the names of them. You know, dwellers of Mesopotamia, Cretes and Arabians, etc. So, whatever happened in Acts chapter 2 is not at all what's happening today in the churches that claim they're doing, you know, Pentecostal type, you know, speak for tongues, because they would be speaking in one language and somebody would be hearing them in another language. I mean, if you spoke English and I heard you in Russian, that would be, it'd be interesting. It'd be a miracle. Okay?
Or have you understood Russian?
Right. Well, sure. So,
I grew up in the Pentecostal churches myself, and
sure.
I thought that, and this, you know, honest truth here, I always thought that, yes, you know, everyone believes in speaking in tongues. That was just common biblical knowledge. I mean, you're dumb if you don't. But never once did I hear my pastor preach a sermon on it. And it wasn't until about 3 years ago. I guess my position is slightly different than yours. I think there is something in there other than what we see in churches today. I don't think what we see in churches today is what Paul talks about. There's a verse in there where he says, you know, if I speak in an unknown tongue, then my knowledge is unfruitful. Or he doesn't understand what he's saying, I guess. But I definitely don't think it's what we see out there in the world today. I think they've really got that confused. And they're not even following the rules.
Right, the rules are pretty simple.
Yeah.
First place, Acts chapter 2, where they speak in one language and they hear them in seven other languages, would be nothing similar to what's happening today.
Yeah, they had, you know, tongues of float or floating tongues on the top of their
right.
Head.
They can't claim that as their authority.
Yeah, definitely not.
And if you look at Acts chapter 1, Jesus is getting ready to be taken up to heaven, and he says, you know, they're standing there looking up, and he says, you know, I'm taking off now, guys, but wait here in Jerusalem until you're filled with the Holy Spirit. He said, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be with his witnesses.
Yes.
That's how you tell somebody's full of the Holy Spirit. They're a witness. When somebody says, oh, I got filled with the Spirit, I say, great, how many people did you lead to Christ?
Well, Paul even said, you know, specifically that I would much rather you prophesy than speaking in tongues, you know. So the whole speaking in tongues thing is way overemphasized in these churches. I think it's some sign of spirituality. When it's listed with all these other gifts that they wouldn't consider super spiritual, you know, like the gifts up in, well, you know, some of them, they just aren't as superficial as that. You know, faith or something.
Well, why are they raising the dead? I mean, that's in the list too, yeah. But then you look at Acts chapter 10. Cornelius, the Italian centurion, is stationed in Israel, probably against his will, but, you know, he's away from home with his 100 men, stationed in Israel. And he starts speaking in tongues. Okay, the other second mention of tongues is Acts chapter 10. So, looks to me pretty obvious. Peter is witnessing to him. He gets saved, and he starts speaking to the rest of the guys in Italian. Just like the folks we got here on the staff, when they get excited, they start speaking Russian. Because that's their native tongue. You know?
Yeah.
That would be normal. If you went to Brazil, you know, you'd speak in Brazilian.
Portuguese or Spanish.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that's what you do. That's what you do to, when you get excited, you speak your native language. By the way, we're putting a trace on whoever's calling with the crank callers, and you will see a policeman at your door as soon as possible. So,
with a big dog.
With a big dog. You may want to think real long and hard about doing this, because there are laws against what you're doing. Okay, we're just trying to give you a sweet little warning, one-time warning. Okay?
It's all right. It also shows all the atheists and evolutionists out there who are listening just how ridiculous some
sure.
of their, you know, proponents are.
Right. So, if you want to call in, 850-479-DINO, extension 136, if you have an intelligent call, or even not intelligent call, if you're going to say something, great, we'd love to have you. Or instant messages, AOL, instant message, Dr. Dino Live. So I'll tell you, Jake, my Bob, as far as speaking in tongues, I have been unable to see what's happening in the churches today found in Scripture. I'm very willing to listen. If somebody has an argument, hey, show me. I would like to see it. Bye.
I'm excited about a new resource just made available to Truth Radio. A friend of Truth Radio has sent us a quantity of a booklet entitled Our American Common Law. If you've wondered what the difference is between common law, equity law, contract law, all these very
important distinctions, and how the gold or money issue enters into this whole discussion. This booklet is for you, and we have enough copies, so I'm sure we can send you one. This is just under 30 pages, and it's yours entirely free of charge in return for your contribution of any size to Truth Radio. We need your support. Our address is Post Office Box 344, Nipomo, California, zip code 93444. Ask for the booklet entitled Common Law.
Death, Eden, and the Lamb of God. Answers with Ken Ham, author of the children's book, The Dinosaurs of Eden. Well, Ken, I know that the Lamb of God refers to Jesus Christ, but what does he have to do with death and the Garden of Eden?
Well, you see, the first death in recorded history was the killing of an animal. The book of Genesis records that in the garden, the Creator God made garments of skin for Adam and Eve and clothed them. You see, Adam and Eve didn't even realize they were naked until they disobeyed the Creator and ate the fruit they were commanded not to eat. So God had to kill an animal, possibly more than one, to get the necessary skins. By the way, there wasn't the death of animals millions of years before this event, as it would undermine what this event was all about. But you see, in this way, the killing of the animal in the Garden of Eden, the blood of the innocent was shed to cover the shame of Adam and Eve. And it was a picture of what was to come in Jesus Christ. At the beginning of Jesus' public ministry, when John the Baptist saw him in the crowd, John called out to the people, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John compared Jesus with a sacrificial lamb, and that's why Jesus, the Son of God, was born. The sinless Lamb of God shed his blood on the cross to cover our offense and guilt, and he rose again from the dead to be our Savior and our Lord.
We can help you present the salvation message with Ken Ham's free booklets that are available at AnswersRadio.com. Perhaps download them and give them to a friend. They're a free service of AnswersRadio.com.
Hope and Jonathan Sampson here, live in Pensacola, Florida, August the 1st of 2005. We made it, Jonathan. A new month.
Yep.
Amen. We love you. Day by day, just do what the Lord says. It's a wonderful, wonderful life. You can join us at 850-479-DINO, 850-479-3466, extension 136. We have found the caller, Jonathan.
Yeah.
Interesting. So, now, especially if they're calling on our toll-free number now, that's costing us money for these prank calls, which, of course, they will have to pay. And, of course, the cost of all these, other things involved. You know, there's mental anguish and,
Maybe this is the results of the SETI project. It's just coming through in little beeps and clicks and pops, and we actually have intelligent life.
No. SETI's looking for intelligent life. That is not intelligent life. Okay. All right. You can join us, folks. 850-479-3466. Matter of fact, I think that's what it stands for, doesn't it? Third extraterrestrial intelligence.
Yep.
That's not intelligent. Okay, or you can instant message us at Dr. Dino Live, AOLS message Dr. Dino Live. Adam writes in, but didn't finish speaking in tongues. Okay, I am very willing to listen and discuss this with anybody. I want whatever God has for me, okay? I am not beholden to any denomination for any particular reason. I want to know what God says, and I will do it. I assure you. I'm just saying, I have been unable in my 36 years of being Christian to see what they're looking at, to see what they're saying. Also, the big picture is, a lot of people want to shortcut to spirituality. You know, they want to go down and pray for 20 minutes and, have lightning go through their body and poof, I'm spiritual. They don't want to read their Bible, over and over and over. Okay. They just want to shortcut to spirituality. The other thing to consider, Jacob in the Bible, Jacob and Esau, he tricked his father because his father was blind and he put the wool on the back of his neck and the back of his hands. And his father said, "Boy, you sound like Jacob, but you feel like Esau." It is so easy to be tricked by feeling. You have to go by the word. You know, the demonstration we do in the Science Center here at Dinosaur Adventureland, where you put the blindfolds on and the earmuffs and you spin the guy around in the chair?
Yep.
Have you done that one?
I did it. It makes me a little sick, so I don't do it a whole lot now.
Okay. After 15 or 20 seconds of spinning to the right, the person says, "I'm turning to the right, I'm turning to the right," so the chair is spinning around. They have no contact with the outside world other than, smell. And, within 15 seconds, they say, "Okay, I'm slowing down, and I stop," when they have not stopped. Okay, Then you stop them, of course, and the fluid in the ear goes racing the other way, and they think they're turning to the left, and they're not turning at all. So it's an example of how easy it is to be fooled by feelings as opposed to, you know, being fooled by the word. You got to have an external source, the word. All right. Anyway, if somebody has something to speak on that topic, I would love to see it. But generally on creation evolution is what I want to get. Okay, Mr. Ramas Millennium. Oh, that's the Science Daily one that sent me the one. Have you seen this about hydroplate theory for hope? That's the one I read from Brown University. Yes, sir. Thank you so much for sending me that link. I appreciate that.
I sent you a few links in there. Should be on there.
The bunch, yeah. I got a whole bunch.
Yeah.
I've got a bunch of these other folks I'll try to get first before I take any of the extraneous extracurricular links here.
And again, anybody out there in the real world or on the internet world, if you have something intelligent to say or just something to say about the creation of evolution subject, you can get us right now over AOL Instant Messenger. Dr. Dino Live is our screen name. That's DrDinoLive. And that will pass your questions, comments, criticisms, all that good stuff off to Dr. Hoban.
There we go. Okay, Adam Rao writes in. Have you heard Ray Comfort's theory of evolution of the cola can? I have heard Ray Comfort's cola can theory many times. He is a good personal friend of mine. He is a character. He came here and spoke to our staff. Was that last Christmas Ray Comfort came, or the year before? January. Year before. Yeah. Oh, it was Jim Holt. Senator Jim Holt this last time. Yeah. Anyway. Okay. Good.
So we have to call our information. I'll print it off.
Oh, wow. Have an address and everything. Okay.
Yeah.
The big dog and the guy with the badge will be on hold. In fact, I know people in that town. I have some good friends in that town. I don't remember if I know the sheriff himself. I think I do. I think he came to the seminar when I spoke not too far from there.
Ooh.
Oh. Anyway. Well, we want to, you know, be nice to people if we can. Okay? Here we go. So, Ray Comfort's theory of the cola can. Yeah, that's hilarious, you know. Paint slowly oozed up out of the rock and wrapped itself around the can. The
it's
idea
in
that
the book, God Doesn't Believe in Atheists.
It's in the book.
Yep. Very good book.
Ray Comfort, what a character. His website is livingwaters.com. If you want to hear his cola can theory, the evolution of the cola can. It's hilarious. Because the idea that a cola can could have evolved would be an insult to any thinking man's intelligence. To believe that a cola can evolved is to enter an intellectual free zone. There's a good one. All a person needs to believe in God is a pair of eyes and a brain that work. And they got to be connected, okay? The statement, there is no God, is to claim absolute knowledge.
Now, absolutely, you don't even need a pair of eyes. Now, there was a Helen Keller, I just read a story, I think, in the Impact articles not too long ago. She didn't, well, she has eyes and ears, but they didn't work.
They didn't work, right.
And she knew that there was a God. I mean, they finally brought a minister just to communicate with her, to talk to her, and apparently she'd already known. You know, there's something bigger, there's something up there.
Yep. Awesome. Let's see, to claim there is no God is to claim absolute knowledge. It's just like saying there is no gold in China.
Got to be some gold in China.
Yeah. How could you
somewhere.
Know somewhere? How can you know something like that?
Uh-huh.
How can you know there is no God? You know, I'd love to get an answer to that one. How do you know? How can you possibly know such a thing? There's often heard people say that the Bible is just a good book, quote. That is actually one of the silliest statements a person can make. If the Bible is not the inspired, inerrant word of God, would it actually be a good book? Question mark. No, it'd be a bad book.
Yeah.
That's the Josh McDowell did an awesome job. Have you seen his book, Jonathan?
There's also the C.S. Lewis, there's the whole one, Liar, Lunatic, or Lord. You know?
Right.
I believe it's the three units.
I think Josh McDowell used the same thing. Or maybe C.S. Lewis started it, but it's so true. Here's Jesus claiming to be God.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't say he's a good man if he's not God. He's a liar.
He's a lunatic, yeah.
He's either he is or he isn't, okay?
Yeah.
If he is, then the case is settled. If he isn't, then he's not a good man. He's a liar or a lunatic.
Yeah.
Well, three choices. Same thing. The Bible claims to be the perfect inspired word of God, so you cannot say it's a good book if it's not what it claims it is. It's a bad book.
Yeah.
They don't get it. Oh, well. There is no gold in China. That's good.
You can have your cake and eat it, too. I have no idea where that came from or, you know, who originated with that, but that's always
good. Oh, that's the guy who was dating a girl named Kate, and he fell in love with another girl named Edith. And he went to the pastor and said, look, I love Kate and I love Edith and I don't know what to do. And the preacher said, well, there's one thing for sure. You can't have your Kate and your Edith too.
something like that. He's probably digging his ear and thought, oh, that was pretty wise words, so I think I'll share those.
That's so true, too. One of them will kill you, son. Pick one or the other. Okay. Here we go. EF Stealth 93, right there. Someone I know says that the things in space have uranium in them, and it can be measured, and has a half-life of something like 2 billion years. And they say this proves the Earth is millions of years old. Is this true? No, absolutely not correct. Well, it is correct. Things in space may have uranium in them. I don't know about that. I don't know how many things in space have been analyzed for uranium. That would be a tough one, I think. But the half-life of uranium is pretty long. Matter of fact, I have a thing to add to my seminar. Does the Race Project book have any thing about uranium-235, uranium-238, do you think?
Yeah, they went through and they talked about the, you know, might sound kind of crazy, but it's accelerated nuclear decay. You know, things that just completely throw the clock way off. And they also showed, you know, it's really interesting, we don't hear about this either. You know, many times in laboratories and peer-reviewed secular scientific journals, they've admitted to this increase or slow down the decay rate of practically all these elements.
Right.
But, you know, you never see atheists saying, well, it was done in a laboratory, therefore it must be true. However, if they end up creating life in a laboratory, well, therefore evolution must be true.
Yeah.
But let's forget about, you know, all the other stuff that's in laboratories.
Well, the two major types of uranium that are used in dating are uranium-235, which has a half-life of 713 billion years, okay? And uranium-238, which has a half-life of 4.5 billion years, 4.51, so you expect the whole other. So, yes, they do have a long half-life. That is a fact, okay? At least that was observed, you know, over a 3 or 4 day span in the laboratory. But accelerating nuclear decay, I mean, this is a random thing happening. You don't know that it's always the same. I guess you look at statistical probability. You know, that's a good thought. The atheists are willing to look at uranium dating and say statistical probability is this is what's going to happen, so it must be true.
Yeah.
But they're not willing to look at the statistical probability of, you know, a rock turning to a human. Hello. That's not logical. Okay, anyway, Self, you need to watch video number 7, where I talk about potassium-argon dating, rubidium-strontium dating, all the different dating methods. So it's true that uranium does have a long half-life. It is not logical to say that all the lead we find came from uranium. I mean, lead's a useful thing. God might have created some of lead, you know, in situ, because since lead is a useful thing to have. So there's, I think the Rate Project thoroughly refutes the idea of uranium dating. The Rate Project book, which is boring and hard to read.
They got another one coming out, The Results. That was the initiative, which came out just a couple of years ago. It's a real big, heavy smell, a book that, you know, smells really good, has nice glossy papers.
Okay.
And here this year and later, 2005, they're going to have The Results of the Rate Project come out, as well as a layman's version for reading The Results. Because the very first one, I'm assuming a lot of people looked at it and just went,
I spoke this week in Wisconsin. I told you that already. But one of the other speakers at this conference was Frank Sherwin.
Yeah.
Frank,
good guy.
Good guy. Great. Good friend of mine. He's a character.
Works at ICR.
Works at Institute for Creation Research, ICR.org.
You used to do the radio program with him, didn't you?
Oh, 10 years ago. When I, 14 years ago when I first got started, 15 years ago. Frank worked at the college next door, Pensacola Christian College.
Biology professor?
Yeah, he was a biology teacher. And they didn't want him. They didn't want anybody associating with me.
Tim Hovind, the Renegades.
The Renegades, independent, temperamental, fundamental, right-wing, radical Baptist. And so he came over to the radio program anyway, but he called himself Hostonum. Has no name.
Did he speak with an accent or anything?
Hostonum. No, but if you get any of the old audio tapes we did a whole bunch of tapes together, you know. Really smart guy. I mean, like, you know, way up there, stratosphere, just like you. All right, is that a caller on the line?
No.
Oh, okay.
Somebody actually called in to order a package, but one of the secretaries.
Oh, yeah. Wrong intention to order stuff. We don't know how to do that around here. Okay. You can't order stuff, but not with this number. What do you go to? 850-479-DINO. And I think it'll, the answering machine will feed you through what to do. If you want to order materials, click this button. Or
never done it. No idea.
Not either.
I know it can't be done.
Yeah, they do that. Julie takes most of the orders now. I think her extension is, what, 118 or 117 or... I don't know. There's all kinds of things. Yeah. Okay.
New Yorker.
Huh?
She's a New Yorker.
New Yorker, yeah. She speaks the Yankee language if you speak Yankee. Plus, we also got Amy. She's next to her. She's from Tennessee.
Yeah.
So we got them all covered.
They got a bit of a communication barrier up here sometimes.
So if you all speak Tennessee or Alabama, you can call in, and they'd be glad to take your call. Or if you
we're from Illinois, so we can translate both of them.
People have said Illinois, the Midwest, is the neutral English language that everybody can understand.
Uh-huh. They're gonna say that.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard that many times. And so God had me raised in Illinois, so I could speak the Australians and the English and the Maine people from Maine. Oh, you ever heard them from Maine speak?
Huh.
It's funny. We had a couple in our church in Texas. The guy was from Maine, and his wife was from Alabama, or no, Deep South Georgia. Oh, I don't know how they ever said anything to each other. Paper. Had to write it out. Would you like supper?
But even still, I mean, their calligraphy, you know, the penmanship, I guess, is
right.
Vastly different.
Okay. Well, it's all different to mine, that's the truth. Okay. Jake Mabob writes in, do follow up. I have experienced this secondhand. I prayed for a 14-year-old boy at a camp. And it was a very intense prayer. After about 15 minutes of praying, he stopped talking and began talking again in words I could not understand. The sentences were very structured, and frankly, I was surprised. We had to lay him on the floor because he began to lean against people around him. After waiting for him to come out of his experience, I asked him what it was like and what happened. He explained to me that an incredible peace came over his body and that he could not control the words that he spoke. He also said he could not move his limbs or open his eyes.
You know, real quick, just right there, they can look. Probably the most relevant, you know, one that church will allude to in Scripture is the book of Corinthians and what they're talking about there. Already, I mean, if you have no control over it, that's not what Corinthians is talking about in the first place. You know, uncontrollable speaking, it doesn't even talk about that.
Right, not be able to move your arms or open your eyes?
Yeah, you know, Paul says, if they want to allude to Paul saying, you know, therefore I will pray with my spirit and sing with my spirit and all that and pray with my mind, he's doing that. Whatever he's doing is controlled. He can control it. So if they're saying, I just can't control what, that's possession. That's, I mean, if you cannot control what you're doing, then that's not what it's not even what it's talking about.
That does sound like it's from God.
Yeah.
From.
I mean, when has God completely taken away your free will? You've got a big theological problem there.
You really do. Yep. Okay. It's true people have experiences. You know, it's interesting. There's a sect of Jews that 1,000 years ago have been speaking in tongues.
Mm-hmm.
Part of their normal practice.
Or what they understand to be speaking in tongues.
Right. Yes. Here they are, not Christians at all. And that's what they do. There are, you know, pagans beat the drum and, you know, dance around the campfire, you know, with a bone in their nose that would do similar things. You can work yourself up into a frenzy with any kind of lots of music. A lot of rock music does, too. Okay. Anyway, he could not move his limbs. I'm concerned about tongues. I feel they are a gift that they should be used reasonably. They should be for prophesying, healing, etc. Prophecy. I do not have respect for churches or pastors that fake it's a gift of God. Just thought I'd share that story. Interesting story. Okay. See, there's a lot of experiential stuff. You've got to be even cautious of that because what does the word say? You know, not what does the experiment.
That's what, in a lot of things, you know, I grew up in Pentecostal churches, charismatic churches, and never once, you know, looking back, I was never encouraged to study out the tongue situation in the Bible. Never. Not once.
Right.
And looking back, it is so incredibly different than what I grew up in. It's completely different.
Sure. Well, I'm willing for whatever God has for me, you know. But what would the purpose of it be? What good would it do? Edify yourself. Go around and say, I'm spiritual. I'm, you know, I've done this. You haven't. So I'm ahead of you. You know. So, anyway. Okay, who's on the phone there, John?
Well, we got Jared on the phone.
Jared?
Yep.
Now, you were, at one time, you claimed you were a believer. Somebody just wrote in about the tongues issue. I don't know if you've been listening, but...
Yeah, I was.
Speaking in tongues. Did you ever do that?
Actually, I did, but I didn't remember that. I'm getting feedback from something.
Well, there's 800 buttons over here, and we're just a little baffled on how to do it. But we're working on it. Is that better, Derek?
Yeah.
No? Okay. Go ahead. What's your question?
Of George Bernard Shaw, who was a professor, said, I'm going to talk to an audience of professors and students
and I'm going to tell them all I know about my topic, and I was told to talk in 3 minutes. How can I do that in 3 minutes? Shaw said, well, speak very slowly.
That was the voice of Justice Stephen Breyer of the United States Supreme Court. It is a very entertaining message he gave to a commencement exercise of a major law school. If you'd like to hear that entire videotape, see that entire videotape for yourself, we'd be happy to make a copy especially for you. If you send a gift of any size to Truth Radio, Post Office Box 344, Nipomo, California, zip code 93444. That's P.O. Box 344, zip 93444.
Okay, jury members, we need to come to a conclusion on this case.
He's guilty. There are 10 witnesses who saw him.
I agree.
Anyone think he's not guilty?
I think he's not guilty. His brother said he was with him 300 miles away.
I agree.
I thought you agreed he was guilty.
I did. I don't limit myself to only one truth. I believe there are many truths.
Do you believe the testimony of the 10 witnesses?
Yes.
And you believe the brother's testimony?
Yes.
How is it possible for a person to be in a bank and yet 300 miles away at the same time?
I don't know, but we need to respect the beliefs and testimonies of all the witnesses.
In other words, you don't really want to think this through?
Many people believe that all religions lead to heaven, yet Jesus claimed that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through him. Since these claims contradict each other, have you examined the evidence and decided which is the truth? A message from Lifeline Productions, 1-800-523-8669, lifelinepro.com.
Hour and a half. Kent Hovind, Jonathan Sampson here. The final segment, August 1st of 2005. You can call in 850-479-DINO, extension 136. Or you can instant message us at Dr. Dino Live. AOLS message Dr. Dino Live.
They're going to have to bear with us for this, the program. We've got that nasty just background static. And if I start messing with it, I'm sure that's probably
after the
story.
Program, we're going to work on it.
Yeah.
Rewire the whole county.
Yeah, fair with us. We're in the process of evolving much better flow.
Well, we've been hit by lightning about 10 times, plus two hurricanes, so I mean, you know, we're getting
tons of it.
We get tons of it. It's not making anything better. Anyway, Jared, go ahead. You had a comment about something I forgot now.
Oh, well, you were trying to speak to Tom about saying that I have witnesses that have father. Since my parents were here, they weren't sent to college.
All right.
And the purpose of it, I think, is supposed to be like challenge God, basically, or challenge the Holy Spirit.
I don't know. I've never done it. I've only seen it one time. Scared me half to death.
But you have read about the part that talks about the Pentecost.
Oh, I've read it hundreds of times. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's all that people scared to think that, but not science.
Well, this actual coming from the Pentecostal church, I would say that it's not necessarily the day of Pentecost. We would say, I don't even believe it anymore, but whenever I was in, you know, we distinguish it pretty thoroughly from the day of Pentecost. Because no one can obviously understand their own language. That's good.
Yeah, the Bible says you're supposed to have an interpreter. So.
Yeah, it's 1 Corinthians. It talks about only two or three can only have an interpreter. If you don't have an interpreter,
doing
God.
And no women.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Women
themselves.
Yeah. Yeah, that was set up most of the churches.
Right.
Set up
some of the preachers today. Yeah.
Yes, so I was going to ask to Jonathan. You mentioned something about the age rate of isotopes being changed in the laboratory.
Yeah.
Did you get any information on that?
Yeah, the RATE project, actually, Larry Bartman, we're actually one of the most preachers, was talking about it. And there's a specific journal. I'll bring in the book tomorrow and read the rest of the dossier.
Well, on ICR.org would have it?
They've got a lot of their articles on there. I don't know if the Acceleration Third Day articles are on there, but I'm sure they probably have some information. And they've referenced several times trying to just have free space. The witches know, and I mean, she used to do it with Parkinson's or drinking water. Well, they know that just the solar sunspot cycle changes the carbon 14 decay rate. Every 11 years, you have a sunspot cycle, and because of the extra sunspots, it causes more C14. I mean, upsets the calendar. So that was had to be taken into account just in the last, I guess, 15 years. Well, when you were debating Michael Shermer, you showed snails that have carbon dating rates of 12,000 or 27,000 living snails.
Wait, he says,
well, that's because they're bringing excess carbon that wasn't natural. They're doing their environment.
With the river that came out of Genesee, right? Yep, I read all that.
It isn't only for carbon the same thing. The pay rate and the rate that gets compressed up to the atmosphere.
True. Well, even the decay rate. The solar sunspot cycle, I know it affects the rate at which it comes into the atmosphere, and if I recall, the article was talking about affecting the decay rate also.
I don't see how that's possible, but I have to think about it.
Well, Jonathan is checking out ICR.org to see if they have the rate project up there where you can read it. It's a very complex book, but obviously, to test something for 3 or 5 or 10 days in a laboratory and then extrapolate that over 4.5 billion years, you'd have to admit that would be a little bit of a stretch, don't you think?
It is, which is obvious. If you talked about the model itself, yeah, I would say the model is right, mathematics, physics involved.
Oh, no, you have to start off with a number of how many molecules decay and how many atoms decay in 3 days. And then it's extrapolated.
Do you test the decay rate to experimentally verify what it is?
How would you know what uranium-235 decay rate would be without testing?
It might be possible to do that rate from physics. I don't know what to set up for you, but even if it weren't, they wouldn't do it over a period of 3 or 4 days. That would be done. Because you probably wouldn't get a very reliable estimate that way.
Even if you did it for 3 or 4 years, you'd still...
4 years, you probably wouldn't get a pretty good estimate.
But still, compared to 4.5 billion, you're talking, you know, zero. You're the mathematician.
No, hold on. Your accuracy would probably be well within that many people.
If you tested for 3 years?
Yeah.
Okay, well, Willard Libby, University of Chicago, did the benefit carbon dating. Got a Nobel Prize from it. But as I cover in my seminar part 7, it's based on some real obvious assumptions, like the decay rate remaining constant is the first obvious one. There's been no contamination is the second obvious one.
Yep.
That the atmospheric carbon concentration has reached equilibrium, which is now known it has not yet reached equilibrium. Carbon dating is actually, you know, albeit slightly complex, excellent evidence of a young Earth. It's less than 30,000 years old.
Well, I guess that would depend on what you mean by equilibrium.
Well, where the decay rate and the production rate and decay rate is the same.
Yeah, but that's never going to happen.
Why wouldn't it happen?
That is only theoretically possible. People never see that actually happen in reality.
Well, did you see my video 7 where I give the analogy of filling a barrel with water?
Yeah, I did. I just watched that.
Yeah, you fill a barrel with water, but the barrel has holes in it.
Yeah.
At some point, you reach a stage called equilibrium.
Yeah, but in reality, even that wouldn't happen because look down on the level of the fluctuation, rise, water level. It won't be flat.
It'll fluctuate within a very narrow range.
Exactly. I suspect that that's what happened to carbon 14 in the atmosphere.
Okay, well, why is it still increasing about 37%?
Oh, come on. There's no way.
I'll read you the article here.
Okay, is this a non-creationist article?
What difference would that make?
Oh, I want to hear a real scientist give me this information.
Listen to the prejudice.
Just real quick.
A real scientist.
No, I do have prejudice, and I'll tell you why I have prejudice.
Well, just real quick right now, you have to admit that there are real scientists who are creationists, right?
Tell me one.
Dr. Damian Damadian, the inventor of the MRI, youngest creationist. Is he a real scientist?
Okay.
You would have to at least be fair and say he's a real scientist who has to poop the idea.
Let me clarify. I want to hear this from a scientist, whether they are
for that example right there,
or not.
Dr. Damian Damadian, or Raymond Damadian, I'm sorry, who invented the MRI.
Yeah, hold on. I want to hear from somebody who believes or not in the line in the research that they're conducting.
Okay, are you retracting your statement and saying that they're not real scientists, that they're creationists?
I don't think I said that exactly.
You said, I want to hear from a real scientist.
Yeah.
Not a creationist because I want to hear from a real scientist. That's logical, so that you don't think creationists are real scientists.
Yeah, that's a lot of prejudice in that statement, sir.
maybe I shouldn't say it that strongly, but whenever it comes down to an issue that if they were wrong, then it would upset their entire worldview, I'm not going to take what they say without a grain of salt.
Okay, but you're admitting they are real scientists. So
they
many
can't
of them.
Be.
Okay,
but
wait, thank you.
Oh, Jared, are you willing to admit that the evolutionists also have a worldview that's affected by this?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, good. And so they may be slanting their research to fit their worldview.
Yeah, they might be, but they have to publish things through channels that prevent that sort of thing from happening.
And you don't think it's possible that the channels themselves have a prejudice?
See, that's where I don't think right. Because that requires a conspiracy on such a level. There's no way that it would be a conspiracy.
Well, it happened in the Soviet Union. They got a bigger population than we do.
Yeah, that's because they had a top-down actual conspiracy amongst the government workers to do that. They were ordered to do it through a chain of command. There is no such chain of command.
Oh, there's a money. There's a real money power out there that provides quite a chain of command. You know, we want the government grants to, you know, we want this research to match what we are doing here.
You know, what happens if tomorrow Scientific American publishes an article by a geochemist saying he feels the evidence of geochemistry points to a young Earth? What would happen to that article or that magazine that published it? What type of feedback would they get?
It depends on what his evidence was.
You know, regardless of his evidence, I mean, the vast majority of
people... can't say regardless of evidence.
No,
that's
it's not, because you have to interpret the information. And the vast majority of those people already have this preconceived idea that if anybody says they are 2,000 years old, even if the PhD geochemist is well recognized, the guy's got some problems without even looking at what he's got.
Yeah, his grants are going to be, you know, called back in, and he won't publish again.
Yeah, because this is such a well-established idea.
So you're saying
there is a two-thirds article to overturn.
So you are admitting there's a prejudice.
There's a prejudice in the sense that there's always a prejudice in science against paradigm shift, as by Thomas.
So there is a prejudice. And have there been, throughout the history of science, paradigm shifts that were necessary, but very difficult to bring about because, you know, of the great prejudice? Like,
there's the Big Bang Theory. They didn't want to accept that.
Yeah,
they said that it was religious.
Yeah, this is exactly the Thomas' book, Structure of Scientific Revolution. You read that?
No, I haven't seen that one.
That's where the term paradigm shift comes from. And that's what he's saying in the book, is that, yeah, there is a lot of resistance to science. Why it gets turned. And typically it has to happen to this young person. But that's not the sort of thing that we've seen. Well, in a sense it is, with evolutionary biology. That's why there's like resistance there, because it's so well established. You have to have really solid evidence or argument to overturn it. And there is something like that to make recreation.
Why do they
That's
so much
why I use the term like still fine.
You know, why do I really don't see how you really think that. You know, why does Scientific American publish multiple issues front pages creation and the controversy? Why does New Scientist, why does Discovery Magazine pay so much attention to creation scientists and their research if it's really just some frivolous, retarded idea?
Okay, what are the three things here? New Scientist?
There's New Scientist, Discovery Magazine.
New Scientist. New Scientists, I know for a fact, because I've read quite a few of their issues, they love sensationalized things to get a rise out of people.
That's
so
okay.
I don't
Scientific
take what
American,
they say
Discover
so
Magazine,
fine.
Scientific American, Discover Magazine,
National Geographic,
get the kind of the armpit, if I can say that of all. So I think they're just ridiculous. They got some good stuff, though.
Scientific American, what? Stop them.
Scientific American, Discover Magazine, they've all front page creation information, creation controversial stuff.
Like what?
Like what? Okay, I'll bring in three magazines tomorrow, Scientific American or Discovery, and they'll all be front page creation information.
Sure, I'd love to hear about it.
Okay.
But
if that's the case, why would they be paying so much attention and giving so much... Scientific American just recently said a whole, I think it was on a third page article about creation. It was on the third page saying, oh, we're going to quit teaching science, we're going to start teaching creation. I mean, you responded to that on the website.
They blocked it. Why would National Geographic, what, a few months ago, did say, was Darwin wrong, you know, front page?
You know, if it's not some controversy, and then it's scientific. I mean, it's all down to interpretation.
Are you referring to these April Fool's jokes?
No, National Geographic.
Scientific American, they did do the April Fool's joke, yes.
Yeah.
But why did they choose creation? If it's just
because
some small
nonsense.
Because
that's the point, April Fool's joke is ludicrous.
But they use creation. Why not use, the Raelian idea?
They could have if they wanted to, but
exactly,
the creation evolution thing is such a popular
exactly,
thing
that's
in the public
point.
Imagination.
It's big. It's not some dumb little idea. It's huge. I mean, there are tons and tons of scientists out there.
No.
I just started reading a book today. It's called Why is a Fly Not a Horse? Written by an Italian biologist, the guy actually who discovered recombinant penicillin. Of course, you have to admit this guy is a scientist. And he's sitting here writing a book about evolution, saying it's dead. So, I mean, this guy, he's the one who discovered recombinant and penicillin. He's not some retarded scientist guy. He's actually a very serious, you know, well-recognized scientist who's saying it's ridiculous. It doesn't work.
Now, which website has these where everybody, the scientists can sign up to say they don't believe in Darwinism? Intelligent Design is...
Discovery.org. I also got that Project Steve thing out. So both lists are growing pretty rapidly.
Yeah, there's 400 scientists that signed up saying, I don't believe in evolution. Okay, I'm holding in my hand here National Geographic, November of 2004, where the title of the book, front, very front, was Darwin Wrong. And you open up to the article and it says, great big, huge, 3-inch letters, well, 2-inch letters. No, the evidence for evolution is overwhelming.
Yeah.
Well, but if you go through and look at what they show as evidence,
the same
stuff that's been proven wrong over and over and over, or variations within the same kind. Like they show, for instance, a picture of about 12 different...
proven wrong in November 2004?
Well, let me read them to you here.
Yeah.
After you become acquainted with Truth Radio, it becomes clear to you that part of what Truth Radio is all about is what we share with each other. And there's a man in Minnesota who has done just that repeatedly. And one of his gifts to Truth Radio is a DVD entitled Hijacking America. Now, this is something that, yes, it did originate on satellite TV, but I doubt very much if you saw it. This is something about the Bush administration and about the government under which we now live that you need to see and you need to share with your friends, and I'll be glad to send you a copy of this DVD. I'm all set with a brand new DVD burner that works great, and I'm anxious to use it, and I want to send you a copy of Hijacking America. Ask for it when you write Truth Radio, P.O. Box 344, Nipomo, California, zip code 93444. That's P.O. Box 344, Nipomo, California, zip code 93444.
The 2-1 pitch from Mallory. Curveball, strike two.
When right, throws you a curve.
Bottom of the third, here's the 2-2 fastball. It's deep to center.
Hit a home run. Here's Rise Above with Rob Rosenbaum.
It doesn't matter your age or your social status, you can make a difference. I often hear young people say, I'll help out when I'm older, or I'll give once I have more to give. But the truth is, you can do all that now. You can give a gift to your church or to a mission project with what you make from your part-time job. You can pray. You can invite. You can love others. You can even volunteer to help out with the younger youth. Don't wait for tomorrow for what you can do today. Let God use you to make a difference. Rise Above and make it happen.
Rise Above with Rob Rosenbaum is a production of Rise Ministries at riseministries.com and is made possible by Rob's alma mater, Northwestern College, a distinctly Christian liberal arts college in Orange City, Iowa. Visit nwciowa.edu.
In tune with www.truthradio.com. You may at times find us elsewhere, but always www.truthradio.com. That's where we live. We visit other places, but this is where we always are. Stay tuned. If you go to Google and put in the name Gavin DeBecker,